Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can lose weight and get on with your life. Lose weight without dieting, by the way. I mean, how great would it be to wake up every morning and not get on that scale? Not worry about what you're eating later, whether you're going to be good or bad, whether you're going to eat clean or not. By the way, what is the opposite of eating clean? Eating dirty? Anyway, how amazing would it be to think about your day instead of your diet? That's what I'm here to help you do. If you'd like to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind, what's weighing on you, because the real problem with stress eating, binge eating, compulsive eating, any kind of eating that causes you distress, any kind of unhealthy, unhappy relationship to food, it's not food that's the problem. The problem is what's eating at you. So this week I sent an email out to my subscribers about how to stop a binge in its tracks. So I thought I would share that with you. And by the way, if you're not a subscriber, you can head on over to my website, Dr. Nina Inc., drninainc.com, and you can sign up for a bunch of free stuff and get on my list and never miss an update. So I'm gonna share with you what I shared with my subscribers. And by the way, if you're a longtime listener to the show, you may have heard this before. But when it comes to healing your relationship to food, repetition is a good thing. Okay, so when that urge to binge strikes, when you start thinking about food and you start thinking about what's in the kitchen or what or you're going to get in your car and go through the drive-thru or whatever you're going to do, it can feel as impossible to stop as an avalanche. But luckily, feelings are not facts. That is not the reality. So here's what you can do, one thing you can do to bring that binge to a screeching, skidding halt. First of all, delay. These are also called the four D's. The first one is delay. Postpone eating for 5 to 10 minutes, which, as I even say that, sometimes it can feel, 5 to 10 minutes can feel like an eternity. Try 30 seconds. Try 40 seconds. Try a minute. Whatever it is that you can live with, however long you can delay it, even if it's 10 seconds, delay it 10 seconds. You're not saying no to yourself. You're not using willpower. You're just giving yourself a little space between wanting to eat and actually doing so. Second one is distract, second D. So delay, distract. When you're busy, you might find yourself less likely to want to eat. So try to be busy. Try an activity that helps you express your feelings, like writing in a journal or venting to a friend or just doing something totally different that gets your mind occupied and gets you to stop thinking about eating. Third D, so we have delay, distract. Third is distance. Keep out of the kitchen. It's also a good idea to keep food out of sight. If you don't have anything edible on your countertops, you might be less likely to want to eat it. So put all the food in a cabinet or a pantry or the refrigerator and just keep your distance. If you don't see it in front of you, it is less tempting. And by the way, after 5 or 10 minutes, you can also determine if you are physically hungry or emotionally hungry. So if you're physically hungry means you feel hunger as a physical sensation in your body, like you feel like your stomach gurgles or growls or you feel lightheaded or you just don't feel well physically. And if you're physically hungry, just about anything will do. Like even if you don't like apples, you will so eat that apple because you're so hungry. But if you're emotionally hungry, you don't have the same physical signs. And if you're emotionally hungry, you will want to eat something so you will feel better emotionally. So really try to distinguish, I should add a fifth D there, right? Distinguish emotional from physical hunger. And then decide. Last one is decide. The decision is yours. Whether, oh, here is a caller. I will hold that thought. Hi, caller. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. Good to hear from you.
Hi. Thanks. It's funny. I was actually thinking this Wednesday I would call it and ask you about binge eating, and I realized that you started off the show talking about binge eating, so I was listening to delay, distract, distance. I'm like, okay, I can use these things.
Oh, good. And then you can decide. Because, by the way, you can decide.
Decide is the last one?
Yeah, decide. Okay. Oh, I'll get to that. And by the way, I have someone trying to call. I believe it's Nick. I recognize his number. Nick, call me when I'm off the phone with Nicole. Okay, Nicole, what's going on?
All the Nicks. So I found that, like, I don't even exactly know what binge eating is. Like, I think I do it sometimes, but I was wondering if you could just, like, explain what it is, so maybe I can like, distinguish whether or not I'm actually doing it, and then if I am, then I can maybe use your technique.
Well, binge eating is when you eat a lot of food really fast, and it's not really enjoyable. It's a great quantity of food, more than you would normally eat, and okay, it may be anything, and it's generally eaten really, really fast, and you're trying to escape something, you're trying to make yourself feel better, you're trying to change the way you emotionally feel, and there's shame involved. So like, overeating is kind of like, oh, you know, I ate too much of that. Okay, I'll cut back tomorrow, or I'll eat less for dinner, whatever, the next meal. And you don't feel shame. Maybe you feel bad about what you eat, but you don't feel bad about yourself. Binge eating feels very compulsive, and you feel bad about yourself. There's a lot of shame involved in binge eating.
Yep, I think I do it.
Okay. And what I tell people is to be curious, not critical, and non-judgmental. Right? So instead of like, oh, the shame of binge eating. And I know the shame, because when I first went to therapy, before I became a therapist, when I was in college and I went to therapy, I never told my therapist what was going on with food, because I was too embarrassed to even share it with my therapist. So I get it. I get it. So then you want to be curious about why. Remember, it's not what you're eating, it's why. So think about the last time this happened.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it happened this morning. I don't know.
Well, what happened this morning? And by the way, there are degrees of binge eating. I mean, in my book, I share, I open up with this email I got from a patient who had a binge, and it was so sort of astonishingly intense. It doesn't have to be all like that.
Yeah, so I threw my back out at work yesterday, like bent over, and then I couldn't bend back up. So I had to like leave and come home, and I think that I was eating to make my back pain go away. kind of like when you say, like, when you're tired, what helps being tired, not food, it's sleep. So I was eating to make my back feel better, which that doesn't make sense.
But you know But I got to give you a little of this. You know why? You know why I gave you some applause?
Why?
Because you recognized it. You recognized it. You said, oh, I guess I was trying to make my back pain feel better, and that doesn't really work. So you recognized it. You had insight. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting really emotional even talking about it. I don't know. Like, I just feel bad. Like, I feel bad. Not I want to say I feel bad about myself, but I just feel bad. I feel like in the past I had a lot more discipline and control, and I just, like, want to go back to that. I just feel bad. And then, like, this morning I woke up feeling a little bit anxious, and I emailed work and said that I'm still in pain and I'm not going to come to work. But if I feel better, I'll come later. And I kind of feel like I woke up and kind of binged ate this morning. Like I had just more than I usually would. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm being critical of myself or if it's actual binge eating. I don't know.
Well, even if it's not actual binge eating, if it's emotional eating, right? Like all binge eating is emotional eating, but not all emotional eating is binge eating.
Okay.
So if you were eating out of a way to relieve some kind of anxiety or stress or upset, or if you're eating to comfort yourself, then we need to look at why you were trying to comfort yourself and how can you comfort yourself with words, with language, instead of with food. That's the key. Okay. That's the key to change. So, how do you feel about this new job? As I know you used to call every week, it was awesome, and then you emailed me and told me that you had this new job and you couldn't call. We missed you last week. How are you feeling about this job?
I don't know. I feel okay about it. I like the people. I like the people there. It's a really nice firm. You know, I'm hoping that I'll learn a lot this tax season, like all the 2018 tax updates. But it's exhausting. It's tiring. You know, I miss just having flexibility and I don't like being in an office all day, and I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. It's okay.
Well, it sounds like you have mixed It sounds like you have mixed feelings. Okay, so
yeah, I do.
Part of you enjoys the people, enjoys the challenge, enjoys that you're gonna learn something in your career
and make money.
You like making money. Okay, so there are things that you like, but there are also things you don't like, and maybe. You know, maybe you have some anxiety about what, you know, about being there or about what they might think. Who knows? I don't want to try to read your mind. Something was going on this morning that was making you anxious and then turning to food. It sounds like it was emotional eating, maybe not binge eating. But either way, your emotions need attention.
Yeah. I think I need to go back to therapy. let me tell you what I ate. I ate an orange. I ate a big orange, a date, and dates, like those big dates. I ate a date and a half. I don't know. I was craving sugar this morning. A date and a half. And then I also ate a few blueberries and a little bit of papaya. But that's a lot of food. That's so many carbs and so much sugar. That's more than I usually consume in a whole day.
All right.
In terms of not food, but sugar and carbs, you know?
So sugar is attached to maybe comfort. So even though this is all healthy stuff, I mean, you ate a lot of fruit, but it's about sugar. Sugar is comfort. What in your life needs comfort?
Everything.
Everything is a lot. First thing you think of. Top two things. Top two aspects of your life.
I guess relationship. There's a lot of pressure on that front. Just relationship, finding a partner, whatever. I feel like that part needs comfort. Everything will be okay. Everything will pan out the way it's supposed to. And then maybe, that's definitely number one. What's number two? Yeah, just making it, career-wise, being successful, being stable.
Okay. Well, these are significant. All right. So even though you tell yourself, hey, everything's going to be okay, if you're worried about finding someone, maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you feel anxious. Maybe you feel worried about finding the right person and wondering is he out there? Where is he? And a career being successful, there's a lot of uncertainty in both of these. So the undercurrent might be about helplessness.
Helplessness.
Helplessness. Like there's only so much you can do to find that relationship. There's only so much you can do to make sure you're successful.
Yeah.
And the parts that you can't do can make you feel helpless, powerless.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you feel powerless over aspects of your life, that gets connected to feeling powerless over food. So instead of saying, I feel so powerless, I don't know if I'm ever going to have a relationship, I don't know how, if I'm ever going to be as successful as I want, I don't know what's going to happen, I can only do so much, something like that, it becomes, oh my God, I feel so powerless over food, that you can do something about more so than a relationship or your success, your career.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I just need to relax. I feel like maybe.
And maybe you need some sweetness in your life.
Yeah.
Got a lot of anxiety, Nicole. A lot of anxiety.
Thank you.
And all this sweetness, that's like you need some sweetness in your life. What are you doing for fun?
Exercising, dancing, and now with this back thing, I don't know when the next time I'm going to be able to exercise is.
Okay, exercise.
This is a disaster.
Exercise, I don't know that I'd put that in a category of fun. It's good for
really?
You. It feels good, but exercise is not fun. Fun is, fun. Going out with friends and going to a movie or going out, dancing with friends or just doing something. I have another caller.
Another
if you
call?
Can hear me.
Okay.
No, if you can hear me, caller, call me back. This is important. Got to talk to Nicole about this. Nicole, you need to have fun. I want to give you something to do. I want to be directive.
Okay.
I want you to come up with three things that you can do that qualify as fun.
Okay. Okay.
And I
Does
want
shopping
you
to, count?
Sure, shopping counts. Shopping can be very fun. Retail therapy, nothing wrong with that.
okay.
Yeah, whatever, but not exercise is exercise. That's its own category. Even if you enjoy it, it's not fun.
Okay.
So,
do you want me to come up with it for next time or now?
I want you to think about it, and call me back whenever you can, and let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Nina. I appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. I hope you feel better.
Thanks, Dr.
Okay.
Nina. Bye.
Bye. Aw. Okay. For the callers who were trying to call in while I was talking to Nicole, you can call me now because I'm off the phone. Nick, that's you. I recognize your I recognize his number. Okay, so I was on the last thing I was on was decide. And basically that was that the decision is yours whether you want to whether you want to binge or not. You give yourself permission. If you absolutely must eat something for emotional reasons, then give yourself permission to eat something. Oh. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Dr. Nina.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Crazy, crazy, and still dealing with my son who's driving me crazy. I mean, he does things I think could only be on purpose that he would want to hurt me. He sent me a text, and I thought really hard on this text. So I got real nice text, and I wrote it out real nice. I was really happy about it. I sent it to him so we could see how I feel. And he comes back to me is, who wrote that text? You didn't write that text.
Ugh.
Did somebody else write that text? I said, of course not. I sent you that text, not somebody else. And he continues to do things like that. I mean, on Saturdays, I have a place I like to go. It's a safe place. It's a wonderful place that I adore, and I go there every Saturday. Now, I get a phone call because it rained last week. He says, "Oh, why didn't you go to your meeting this morning?" And I went to my meeting. He's just calling in to give me crap about nothing.
Well,
he's just putting me down. Yes. And not, and it's a point that he said something about having dinner together, which I suggested way back when. But he, I really don't want to see him. I mean, I was dialing the phone a few times here to get on to you. And my stomach was saying, I don't want to go see him. I don't want to have to deal with aggravation and this and that and so on. I mean, it's just an unfair relationship, and he's just out to get me.
Yes, and no matter- I'm very sorry. This is what I think of your son. Duh. Okay. I just couldn't resist. Nick, I am so sorry. Now, you know, I love that you're calling about your son, because in the past, you know, you've called and you've talked about ice cream, and it's turned out that you were using ice cream for comfort because you were upset about your son. So I just love that you are calling with the reason, the real reason that you're upset. This is what's eating at you. So just
yay!
That yay was because you realized it and you called, and you're not talking about food. You're talking about what's bothering you, what's weighing on you. That said, I'm with you. I think that sometimes we are related to people. Sometimes, you know, there are our parents, sometimes our siblings, sometimes our children who do not treat us respectfully, who do not treat us fairly, who use us as emotional punching bags. And there's no reason that you have to tolerate it just because of a genetic relationship to this person. Ideally, you'd be able to talk to your son about what's going on, and he'd be able to talk with you. But my goodness, this is like, you know, Trump and the House of Representatives. There's no communication going on here. You know,
that's right.
So ideally, you talk things out. He says, "Hey, Dad, I'm worried about you. This is my way of showing that I'm worried." You say, "Hey, son, this does not work for me. You want to show me that you're worried? Do it, you know, don't worry." You know, but what he seems to be engaging in is a constant barrage of putting you down, questioning you, power plays, trying to get you to defend yourself, defend, explain, and justify. And if you're trying to consistently defend yourself, explain yourself, or justify yourself, something is wrong there. Something is wrong in the relationship. And so I think your instinct to protect yourself after trying to reach out, trying to talk to him, and getting that kind of ludicrous, awful response is a good idea. You know, I'm not generally in favor of just, you know, cutting off from relatives, but I am in favor of it if those relatives are causing you pain, anguish, and hurting you.
Yeah, it, you're right. You know, I can't deal with him because of the pain I'm in. I don't need this pain. I want to avoid the pain. Before I was trying to see him, this, you're right. I mean, sometimes you got to just turn it off.
Well, yes, you need to. Right now, he seems to think he has the power to get you to explain, justify, and defend yourself. And I think that maybe perhaps in time, I don't know, perhaps if you show him, you know what, this is one power struggle you are not going to win, and I'm going to take a break from you. If you're ready to come back and have a conversation that involves mutuality and respect, And I say that again, respect.
No.
One more time, respect. If he's, you know, then maybe you can talk. But right now, he's disrespecting you consistently, and you don't deserve that.
Yeah. I mean, even the good things that I've done in the last few months, talking to you, no exercising, and now I'm out there walking every day I can, and I got my route, and everything's
Ooh,
fine, and music I listen to.
Yay!
Yeah. But then he called, he got a text early in the morning saying, what time are you walking? I want to walk with you today. Now,
is that truly, does he can, really want to walk with you? I mean, has he ever shown up and...
Never. No, 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 no. And he's saying, I want to walk with you. And I'm saying that, like, when I send him back a text saying, listen, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and I can't tell you when I'm going to walk. Because sometimes I walk at 3 times, but lunchtime, I walked in. And I go in the afternoon, mostly in the afternoon. But he questions it. He's trying to find out if I really walk. He wants to know about,
right.
Seeing him.
That text is not indicative of the awful text. That the awful texts are when he tells you mean things about yourself.
Right.
I mean, you've shared some of those texts before where he's incredibly disrespectful and rude and just out to make you feel bad. So if someone is trying to make you feel bad, I don't care if that's your son. You've got to put up a force field. You know, I'm a fan of Star Wars. You got to put up a force field so that you don't get attacked.
Oh.
And deal All with. Right. And then, by the way, it's not just enough to put up that force field and prevent the attack. You got to deal with your disappointment and hurt and anger and resentment and whatever else that you're likely feeling about the situation. And really deal with that. That way you won't use ice cream for distraction or comfort. That way you heal. You deal with it and you heal. And then you feel better.
Oh, yeah, I hope. I will.
I hope so too.
I'm working on it. Negative. What can I say that I already said? So I have to deal with them like that. And that's a good idea. Come back when you're ready.
I would send him one text and say, I am unwilling to tolerate your disrespect and bullying. I'm going to be blocking you for a period of this much time or an undetermined time. When and if I am ready to unblock you, I will let you know. Please do not contact me. And if and when you're ready to talk to me in a respectful way, I'd be happy to hear from you. But I need some time.
Yep.
I need some time. And that's the best you can do. And then he can either be respectful or not.
He can be that, and I could feel better that I don't have to worry about the anxiety of seeing.
Right. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Nick,
again
I'm...
and again and again.
Oh.
And I'll keep you posted.
I'm sorry you have to deal with this. It's awful when, you know, someone that is supposed to ideally, you know, love you and be there for you is so hurtful. So Nick, let me know how it goes.
I certainly will.
Okay.
And thanks again.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hey, Dr. Nina. It's Brian from Chicago. How are you?
Hey, Brian from Chicago. You survived the minus 45 degree temperature from, was that last week? Yeah, it was last week.
That was. Yeah, it's a balmy mid-30s now, so, you know, we're all out in our bathing suits just getting a little color.
Springtime in Chicago.
Yeah. Are you guys surviving that vicious 40 degrees in L.A.?
40 degrees? 40 degrees, that would be, no, it's like a freezing, like 58 or something. And I'm freezing. Wow. I should stop right now.
We'll airdrop some disaster relief to you poor people.
Brian from Chicago, you're kind of funny.
I have a question for you. I may have asked this question before or just some variation of it, but, you know, especially among people who are trying to maintain active lifestyles, or it's sometimes sold to people as like a way of maintaining, you know, peak conditioning, but things like the keto diet and diets of that nature, are they diets? Because it feels like, you know, trying to lose weight in 10 days or something, that's a diet. If you're like, let's be careful with what we eat or no carbs or whatever. But keto just feels more like a lifestyle or some type of a training regimen that includes diet. I mean, what's the difference between those things? And in the end, from your perspective, does it really make any kind of difference?
That's a great question, and I think that what we're talking about is semantics, because even though people in keto or paleo will swear up and down that it is a lifestyle, whether you call it a lifestyle or not, it involves deprivation. And if you are cutting out certain food groups, that is a diet. That is a restriction, and restricting parts of your diet is unsustainable for most people, and inevitably leads to overeating or binge eating. So, whatever you call it, anytime you're restricting whole segments of the kinds of food that we eat, the range of food, anytime you're eliminating a whole bunch of food, that's a diet, and that's restriction, and that's deprivation.
So in that sense, then, those approaches, which are, because they definitely involve deprivation and restriction, because they're very, like the keto diet is incredibly regimented, where you have to be, it's not just simply paying attention to what you're eating or not eating, it's monitoring and taking levels and working up to a certain, you know, what's called ketosis, like a certain level where your entire body chemistry is changing in reaction to it. So it's really like a full-time, all-day-long measurement commitment. It's almost like being diabetic, where you have to constantly take measurements of your insulin levels and, you know, be aware of every food's content. So, I mean,
that's a lot.
It's like paranoia and just, I think it's so involved. You know, do you feel that these things are doing people more harm than good?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking, as you were talking, a few weeks ago, my husband and I went to have dinner with friends. And the wife is always on some kind of diet or lifestyle. She's always on some kind of diet. And she's been doing keto. And the whole time, all she could talk about was like this, like she made this bread that's made out of this, so it's keto friendly, and it's just as good as bread, and this and that, and then she kept talking about everything that she was doing and what she was making it with, but part of me is like, well, I'm happy for you that you found this. However, you know, you're trying to convert me into trying this plan. And don't you have something else on your mind than giving me recipes and telling me, you know, what you're eating? Like, it's like her mind vanished, and all she could think about is she became like keto brain. And her husband said, you know what, you're going to lose weight, but you're going to have a heart attack because you're of all the fat you're having. Like, what are you doing? But so, yes, there can be this, you know, preoccupation in some people where it's just all they think about. And I am of the mind that we should just think about what we're eating before breakfast, before lunch, and before dinner, and maybe when we're hungry for snacks. We shouldn't be so obsessive about every bite we take. We shouldn't be so preoccupied and obsessed And then that obsession becomes like the entire focus of your dinner time conversation. Too much. That's just my personal rant.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's a totally valid point. And I also think that for those people I know who are on the keto diet, the thing that I think people don't understand is the only time I've ever seen body changes in people who are on the keto diet is if they're also in training for some type of competition and they are in some sort of exercise program that keeps them working that often every single day. Because otherwise, I think people are like taking on the trappings of athletes do this diet, but they forgot about the athlete part.
Yeah, I'm getting a message from someone who's watching on Instagram Live, Amanda. She says, I have a coworker on keto, and that's all she talks about, even during office lunches and potlucks. So, yeah, it's a thing. And we have other things to talk about. We have other things to think about. And that kind of preoccupation is not healthy. It's just not.
So maybe the takeaway is it's not good to trade one obsession for another obsession.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, what is it giving, you know, what is it giving any particular person to be so excited about this lifestyle? Like, what are they distracting from? You know, what might my friend be worried about? She just started a whole new big job. Maybe she's focused on this diet because it's easier to focus on that than this big job she just got. Huge job, sort of outside of her normal arena. I don't know. I don't want to psychoanalyze my friend. But it does occur to me that it was interesting that she was talking about that the food instead of what was going on in her life. So I don't know. But I do know that we as humans have much more interesting things on our minds if we allow ourselves to be interested in our minds than what we're eating.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Nina, as always, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Brian from Chicago, enjoy the balmy 40 degrees.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
40 degrees. Oh, I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. All right. So I was on the last D, decide. The decision is yours. Whether you want to eat or not. If you absolutely must eat something and you know you're eating for emotional reasons, limit it. Like if you want to eat chips, eat a individual size of chips. If you want to eat cookies, get like a 100 calorie pack of cookies. Just sort of limit it. Because often when we open up something, if we're opening up the family size bag of chips, we just keep going. But if you open up an individual pack, maybe you'll just have that pack. So that lets you eat what you want without binging. And remember, wanting to binge does not mean you will binge. You can put the brakes on. Wanting to do something is not the same as doing it. So after I sent this to my subscribers, one of the responses I got was from someone who wrote, she said, I'm a longtime dieter and gastric bypass recipient and recently a tummy tuck. And I know very well about the binging and the things you're talking about with these four things. I've lately in my journey become aware of them, and I do try to practice some. However, when the feeling comes on, it's so strong and overpowering that I'm unable to stop it. Any suggestions for that? Or do you still go by the 1 through 4 that you posted? Okay, so a couple things. My suggestion is to think about this. If you are turning to food, you are turning most likely away from something else. So ask yourself, what is eating at you? What would you be thinking about if you weren't focusing on food in that moment? What would you be feeling? What purpose will eating serve? Oh, hey, hi, Gina. People are talking to me on Instagram today. I love it. Hey, Gina, how are you? So ask yourself, what would you be thinking, what would you be feeling if you weren't thinking about food? Because when you can identify and attend to why you're eating instead of what, you can deal with those underlying thoughts and emotions instead of distracting from them or coping with food. And Nick was a great example of that. In the past, he's called and he's talked about how he can't stop with ice cream, and ice cream was taking over his life, and he'd go to the store and get ice cream, and we'd be eating it in the car on the way home, and what was wrong with him that he was eating ice cream. That's focusing on what he was eating. But today, and invariably, we looked at, okay, what's going on with you? And it was invariably the situation with his son. Today, he called and he came forth with what was eating at him. When you really deal with the underlying and you get to that, then you're free from using food to cope. I would also add that surfing the binge wave can be very helpful. So when you feel that urge to eat coming on, and this is kind of a little bit like delay, it's a form of delay. When you feel that urge to eat coming on, remember, it is powerful, but so is a wave. And like a wave, it builds and builds and builds and builds, and it gets stronger and stronger, and then it crests and it diminishes and it's gone. So if you ride it out, if you just surf the binge wave, is a way of thinking about it, surf the emotional wave, you can outlast it, and the urge will pass. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, it is almost award season here in Hollywood, and the Grammy Awards are coming up this weekend. And let's talk about how these award shows impact our body image and self-esteem. So I have a friend who's a plastic surgeon, and he says it's really common for people to come in and they bring photos of celebrities for reference. And they're like, they'll point to this photo and they'll be like, okay, I want to look like this. Make me look like this. And this is just all part of the celebrity culture, because what people don't realize is that picture is the result of maybe a little work, maybe not, but definitely makeup and hair and styling and all kinds of things. You know, no one ever brings a candid picture from the National Enquirer into their doctor and says, hey, make me look like this, when they capture celebrities as they really look. So what happens after award shows? Grab any copy of People magazine or any other magazine, and what are they talking about? Red carpet looks. They're talking about who wore what, who looked like what, who looked good, who looked not good, and all that. So the problem with our celebrity culture is that we compare ourselves to people who may be surgically enhanced a little bit, who rely on a whole team of stylists to make them look as good as they look, and who often, let's face it, wear Spanx. Now, if you don't know what Spanx are, they're these magical shapewear. these magical shapewear that suck you in and trim inches off your body. And who cares if you can't breathe while you're wearing them? You look thinner. Woohoo! Okay, so how much does the media, not just award shows, but social media, all kinds of media, magazines, ads, TV, movies, how much does it influence our self-esteem, especially when it comes to body image? And more importantly, what can we do about it? So there's no question that media does influence our sense of body dissatisfaction, and it impacts our body image. In fact, I wrote about this in my book. Here's my book, Food for Thought, Perspectives on Eating Disorders, where I talk a lot about binge eating, but I also talk about this stuff. So here's an amazing example of how the media can influence the way we think about ourselves. So prior to 1995, that's when television came to Fiji. Prior to 1995, if you told someone in Fiji, oh, you look like you've lost weight, you look thin, they would take that as an insult. They would be horrified. That was not considered a compliment, because up until 1995, when television came to Fiji, they really privileged plumpness as aesthetically pleasing and beautiful. So having a really healthy appetite, being plump and overweight, that was highly valued. It was considered extremely positive. And then came TV. And 3 years after television arrived in Fiji, a mere 3 years, after television arrived in the country of Fiji, 83% of adolescent girls reported that their views of their bodies had changed. They did not feel good about being larger or rounder as they had before. And they had previously thought of roundness, heaviness, plumpness as being the ultimate in femininity. Now they did not, because they were watching Heather Locklear on television. And 69% of the people who took a survey 3 years after TV came said that they had been dieting. So that points to the strong impact of media on body dissatisfaction. And so, you know, and by the way, it is not just women and girls who are impacted by this. Guys, too. Like guys are not immune to body image issues. Oh, I have a caller. Hold, I will hold that thought. Hold on. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Amanda in Tampa.
Hi, Amanda in Tampa. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks. How are you?
Fine, thanks. What's going on?
I was listening and really relating to, well, everything, but the media and social media. So I'm trying to start this kind of side business, which relies heavily on me putting myself out there on social media. And I'm overweight, and it makes me really uncomfortable to put myself out there because I'm falling into the trap of comparing myself against everybody else who's in this market, looking all trim and cute and wearing clothes that I can't wear. So it's a struggle, but I don't want it to hold me back.
Good. I'm all for that. Hey, wait, you get, I don't want to, I'm going to give you a, yes. You get some applause for that. We don't want it to hold you back either.
No, but I do let it hold me back is the problem.
Okay, I won't give you the buzzer sound. Okay, so why do you let it, so your anxiety is what? What, how does it make you, and by the way, I apologize, I have about 3 minutes more for the show. If we get cut off, will you call me back next week so we can finish this conversation?
I will do my best. I'm kind of in my office at work, and I will do my best.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
What is it that you are thinking about that is making you hold back? Like, what are your fears?
Being judged, I think mainly. Yeah, against my other people, you know, in the field, trying to do what I'm do, who are deemed looking better than me, or yeah.
Okay. This judgment, what would it sound like?
I mean, people can be pretty awful on social media with their comments. You know, there's no, you can delete them, but people don't really filter themselves if they're anonymous sometimes.
Oh, I know. Believe me, everyone gets haters. I get haters all the time. I totally get it. What I'm wondering, Amanda, is you're worried about being judged in social media now. And of course, it's a legitimate concern because there are those haters out there. However, I'm wondering if there was a time in your life before social media where you felt judged. And even though it seems like you're afraid that if you put yourself out there for scrutiny on social media, you're going to be judged, maybe you're afraid that you're going to re-experience some painful judgment from the past. Does that resonate in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. I still feel judged from some people in my family and somewhat myself.
Okay. And I'm guessing that whatever the people in your family said to you, you internalized, and now you judge yourself through their eyes. So it seems like your judgment, but it really came from them.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So do I just make videos and posts about myself and, just deal with it if nasty comments come up?
Yeah, you know what? Nasty comments will come up no matter what you weigh or what you look like or what the... I promise you, I get so many nasty comments. And so you get nasty comments no matter what. Like, everyone gets nasty comments.
Yeah.
It's how those comments affect... Yes, it's awful. But if your family made nasty comments to you at some point in your life, that is so hurtful. And it can feel like such a betrayal, and it can feel like the truth, like they know some, they've deemed you not good enough. And so then any judgment that hints at that goes to a place of like, it's the truth. And I think maybe it would be helpful to challenge, that idea to heal those original judgmental wounds so that you can, be less afraid in the present and the future of re-experiencing that pain. Hopefully that makes sense to you. Hopefully it resonates to you. Please try to call me back.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
I would love to talk to you more about this. Unfortunately, I am over time on my show, so we're going to leave it at that. Thank you so much for calling, Amanda. And I really appreciate the question, and I'm sure that a lot of people can relate to this. And whether you can call in or not, I'm going to talk about it next week.
Okay, thanks, Nina.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And that is our show for today. Thank you, everyone, for being here with me on this hour at Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio. If you would like to join my list, join my subscriber list, join my community, please do so at drninainc.com. You can sign up for all kinds of free goodies, and I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, give me an email, shoot me an email. Find me on Facebook or Instagram. I answer everything myself. That's it. Stay curious, not critical, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.